Aynen. Marka. Evet.
Hello.
Hey, I'm gonna call you later on today.
Okay, I'll be home all day. I am waiting for a doctor call. That's the only thing, so
What would be the
be good.
best time?
It doesn't matter. If you want to do it right after, that'll be fine. Sounds good.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're starting Psalm 23 today. And it's the two handouts that are on the unique astrological times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. Or at the bottom of the Yeshem webpage on the mobile devices. We're starting with the Psalms landing page, Tehillim 23, and I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kutshav richu ishkinte bichilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu. Leakta Lishem Yud He Bavathe Biyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Vasok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunayo Hidu Alena Maseya Dedo Kurane Alena Maseya Dedo Kuranehu. We say Psalm 23 on the fourth day of the monthly cycle. This is the first Psalm for the fourth day. Psalm 23, written by King David, is a timeless testament to the rock-solid faith of the Jewish people in knowing that Hashem is always with us, protecting and guiding our path. This is the traditional Kavanah to use when saying this song. The first word is Mizmor LeDavid, which is a cutting word. And I refer you to Rabbi Sutton's PDF called The Yearning for Redemption. And I refer you to page 6 of the introduction. There are 6 verses in this psalm. This number connects to the energy of Zeran Pin, which is heaven, which is the lower 6 of the 7 Sephirot. But the 7th is included in the 6th. And students of Kabbalah understand that. It's also the number 6 creates or is connected to the 6 directions: north, south, east, west, up, and down. Transitioning to the Yearning for Redemption PDF. Psalm 23, Tehillim 23. King David is fleeing from King Saul, Shaul. Without food or drink, he comes to a dry, sun-scorched forest, where he faints from hunger and thirst. In his sleep, David's soul leaves his body. For all intents and purposes, he is dead. As his body lies there lifeless, his soul rises up and enters the heavenly Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. There he is shown a prophetic vision of his entire life. He is shown the reasons behind all his tribulations. He is shown all the trials of the Jewish people throughout their long and torturous history. He is shown Hashem's unfathomable care and providence for all creation. He is projected into the future and shown a vision of the Messianic age and the great Shabbat, when this providence will no longer be concealed in the garments, in the laws of nature and history. An unwritten commentary: one should realize that the garments will still be there, but we will see Hashem's hand behind them. He will be visible to us in his actions. We will be aware of those actions, but the laws will not change. But we will have the capability of rising above the laws. After all this, he is told that he must return to his earthly body. He is assured that he will be protected from Shaul, that his kingdom will be established, and that someday a descendant of his will be the final redeemer of the Jewish people and mankind. Finally, he is given a taste of the heavenly dew with which Hashem will revive the dead in the ultimate future. He awakens to find the entire forest moistened with the same dew of resurrection. As the fresh foliage protects him from the burning sun, he drinks from the dew, and his soul revives into his body to commemorate the miracle of having died and come back to life. David composed Tehillim 23. Knowing that King David's life is a microcosm of our own, we sing Mizmor LeDavid at least 3 times on Shabbat. Before Kiddush on Friday night, We sing it to remind ourselves that Hashem has been there with us, even as we have walked through all the deep valleys and dark alleys of our lives. We sing it to rise up to the heights of prophetic vision in order to glimpse our lives from the perspective of eternity, that Hashem's providence is never inoperative, and that the more we perceive his hand in history, the more he will empower us so that we can play our part in his plan to guide mankind to the ultimate redemption and the great Shabbat. As an unwritten commentary, I read something I hadn't read before as a prophecy. It was somebody making a comment to an essay by a rabbi. The discussion was about Mashiach. And in the comment, the statement was made that it would be necessary for the Mashiach to have had a near-death experience. I hadn't read that. I wasn't aware of that. And I thought, well, this guy is making this up. But as I'm reading this commentary, or actually rereading it, something that I had forgotten, this commentary, King David was resurrected. King David had a near-death experience, as the story shared with us. But what isn't expressed here, and may not have been true for King David, but is true for all other people who experience it, the soul that went up is not necessarily the soul that returns. King David came back renewed. We perceive that King David the same as the one that went up. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But whatever person, soul, group of sparks that came back as King David, this is the Mashiach. And it will be, I understand this now, it will be a requirement of the Mashiach that he have experienced a near-death experience. The first verse. I'm getting a lot of background noise, so please mute your phones by pressing *6. Mizmor LeDavid Adonai Yohei Wahei Roi lo exar. Mizmor LeDavid, a chant, a psalm to cut through the concealment of the world by David. Hashem is my shepherd. I shall never lack, for I know now that he is with me in all my trials. Footnote 45. In his early years, David had been a shepherd. It was because of his tender care for his flocks that Hashem chose him to be a shepherd of his people. But like his great ancestors, David was now being propelled forward to the next level of his mission through intense trial and tribulation. Let us not forget that Hashem had tested Abraham 10 times. Yitzhak was almost sacrificed on the altar. Yaakov's entire life was a series of trials. Joseph was sold by his own brothers and taken down to Egypt as a slave. Even after an initial period of success in Potiphar's palace, he was placed in a dungeon for 12 years. Moshe suffered tremendous setbacks in his career as Hashem's prophet. There were times when he did not know if he could go on living. Now it was David's turn. He had been anointed by Shmuel, killed Goliath, married the king's daughter, and fought and won battles for his people and Hashem. As he was being chased, he couldn't help feeling that Hashem's graces had been turned away. Now, however, after his vision, he realized just how much Hashem had been shepherding him. If he experienced privation and lack, it was his own inability to see Hashem's guiding hand in his life. The second verse. Bino deshe yarbitzeni ame menuchot yinachaleni. He has laid me down in luxuriant meadows, shepherded me along restful streams. Footnote 46. On a literal level, green meadows and refreshing streams refer to David's experience of lying down peacefully in that dry forest after it had been moistened by the dew of the world that is coming. On the spiritual level, green meadows alludes to the experience of the Garden of Eden, and refreshing streams alludes to the river that flows through that garden. And that's just two of the meanings of these terms. There are 68 additional terms if we would only have the time and the connection to Hashem to have those revealed to us. And may it happen with the teachings of Mashiach in our days. And may we all say, Amen. The third verse. Nafshi yishovev yancheni b'maglai tzedek l'man shemo. Time and again he has revived my soul and drawn me close to him. Footnote 47. I'm continuing to read. He has guided me along paths of justice and righteousness so that I could hereby or thereby proclaim his name and his care of all creatures to the whole world. Footnote 48. Now I'm reading footnote 47. Hashem restored David's soul by lifting him up above his troubles and affording him an awesome vision. He also literally restored his soul to his body. More than this, however, David now realizes how Hashem has revived his soul countless times throughout his life. He also understands that this will continue for him and his people forever. He thus says, Nafshi Yeshovev, not simply Hishev, a single past action, or Yashiv, a single future action, but a continuous action without termination or end. An unwritten comment. We can realize the depth of Rabbi Sutton's knowledge and connection to Hashem to be able to understand how he can interpret a Hebrew word so deeply that he can differentiate between the tenses, between the descriptions and the meanings of words in the Hebrew language. He is absolutely amazing, and this is just one example. Pasuk 48, or footnote 48, I'm sorry. David had questioned, as we all do at times, whether he deserved such rough treatment. After all, he had been anointed king. Why was he suffering so? Why was he being struck by such tragedies, one after the other? How could he stand to see his own family killed? Hashem in heaven, how can I bear this pain? Have you indeed cast your servant away? Now, as a result of his near-death experience, David was a different person. He began to acknowledge the profundity of Hashem's righteousness. Now he understood why all this was happening to him. It was so that he could proclaim Hashem's name, that even in the midst of the darkest night of pain and suffering, Hashem does not abandon us. It is just that in this world, we humans are not allowed to know the ultimate why of things. And that is why we suffer. But David has been catapulted above and beyond this world. It is highly probable that he reunited with the exalted souls of his married father, his mother, and brothers in heaven. With their blessings, he now returns stronger than ever. It also tells us to see an in-depth commentary for more, but I'm not sure where this in-depth commentary is. And I do want to express profound appreciation for Hashem allowing me to see this hint from this comment that was written, and then to receive what I knew to be true and expressed to you earlier. I have never read this footnote before. And here is the confirmation. I am expressing sincere appreciation to Hashem for allowing me to perceive this truth.
I know. I'd like to make a comment.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On footnote 47, I'm hoping my memory is serving me right. If not, it's something to investigate, which I will do. But with having to do with the word Yashi, the single future action, but a continuous action without termination or end, I'm almost sure in the study of Issachar that we learned that in one scripture verse, his three sons are named, and one of them is Job, Eov. But in the second mention of his son's name, Yov is changed to, I think, Yashav or Yashiv. It's the same consonants, I'm almost sure, which meant having to do with return. I remember looking that up. Now, that was like several years ago. But I remember sending you that commentary about Issachar and how he gave one of his shins. That's why his name, one of his shins are silent in his name, because he gave it to Eov to change his name to Yashav. So I think that would be something we'd want to look up and see if it relates to this verse, which I kind of think it does. Anyway, that's. I wish my memory was more.
I think I may be wrong, and we do need to look it up, and I will trust that you will do that. But I think the yashiv is spelled with a hey at the end.
Okay.
And in Job, I think there is the yashiv. Let me rephrase that. Return is teshuvah, without the top, obviously, but it's shuv. And I believe shuv or shuva has the hay on the end. Yashiv does not have the hay on the end. And the hay at the end indicates a direction. Well, grammatically, when there's a hay at the end of a Hebrew word, it may, not always, but it may indicate a direction. So teshuva is a direction of return, because mm-hmm. you haven't completed the teshuva as long as you're still in the physical world. But you may have completed it for that specific item, but there's more. The yashiv would have the idea of this single return, as opposed to what Rabbi Sutton is explaining with the word yeshovayim, because the two bets. Now, a bet, there is a relationship, and you can substitute a hay for a bet, using the parts of the mouth, but it takes two substitutions in that sense. So that's just continuing your problem.
You know, it was worth mentioning at this point, because if I don't mention it now, I'll forget about it. And I did see how simply the words were. So, but I will.
And I agree with you. It needs to be researched.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you bringing it. So the fourth verse. Gam ki elech v'geyo tzal mavet lo ira ra ki ata imadi shivtecha u'mishantecha. Hey, Maya Nachad Muni. Now, even if I must walk through a deep valley overshadowed by suffering and death, I will fear no evil, for you, your presence, and your great loving kindness accompany me. Both your rod, the suffering that cleanses me, and your staff, the Torah that guides me, can comfort me and assure me that you have not abandoned my life to chance. Footnote 49. And I also, before I read footnote 49, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the traditional translation of this verse. And you can see here the depth of Rabbi Sutton's translations, where he adds these words. He puts them in smaller letters, so you know it's not a literal translation. But without them, the appreciation for the full meaning of the words from the Hebrew translation just cannot be perceived. That's at least my opinion, and I hope other people share it. Now I can walk, this is footnote 49. Now I can walk through this world overshadowed by suffering and death, and not fear the greatest evil, what is the greatest evil? A world devoid of Hashem. A world in which Hashem's presence is so eclipsed that people no longer even know that he is hiding. It is so to such a world that David now proclaims loudly and clearly, "You are with me. Until now I spoke about you. Hashem is my shepherd. He lays me down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me. Now in the depths of hell, I call out to you. You are with me. Your presence and your loving kindness." Which I have to get to the next page. "Have never abandoned me. I didn't know what to think. I became confused. I lost hope in you and in my own worthiness to stand before you. Now I know that there is no longer reality but you. There is therefore nothing in the world to fear except you. Even my fear that you were punishing me for all the wrong I had done until now, to become a comfort for me. For I am now certain that nothing just happens. All is from you. I am thus assured that your mercies will be aroused for me. Finally, I know that even the pain I have suffered will be for the ultimate good." The fifth verse. "Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged sorerai tishanta bashemen roshi kosi ravaya." Hashem, prepare my royal table over and against my adversaries. You have anointed my head with oil. Because oil is a code word for wisdom. My cup is a code word for our heart. My cup overflows, and thanks to you for everything you have given me. Ten words in this verse. A complete structure, a partsuf. Thirty-nine is the gematria of the word tal, tet lamed. Tal means, when it's spelled with a taf, has the meaning of dew, as in the dew of resurrection. 39 is the gematria of yud he vav when it is spelled out. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, a gematria of 20. The Vav is Vav Vav. 12 is its gematria. 12 and 20 is 32. So what is the Hay? 7. Let me rephrase that. The Vav is Vav Aleph Vav, which is the gematria of 13. I should have realized that. And the He is He Aleph. So you have 20 plus 6 plus 13, 39. The Du is a code word for Hashem's spiritual levels, Yud, He, and Vav. These are the sequences that we utilize on Sukkot, the holiday that draws chesed into the world and into ourselves. The sixth verse. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chaya chayei v'shavti b'veit Adonai yohei v'hei liorech yamim. Let me continue to perceive your goodness and kindness in all that comes upon me, all the days and even the dark nights of my life. Bring the end to all our tribulations so that your true goodness will no longer be concealed. And may I merit to dwell in the house of Hashem throughout my entire life and beyond into eternity. May the world truly become Bet Hashem, the house of Hashem, and mankind know your presence everywhere, forever. And may we all say, Amen. Twelve words connecting us to the 12 tribes of Israel. Five letters connecting the 12 tribes of Israel to Adam, to man. As opposed to where we are currently, that of children. Now I will read the six verses. In the Hebrew, serially, one verse after the other. Mizmor le David Adonai Yohei Wahei Roi lo Hechzar B'niot Deshe Yarbitzeni Ame Menuchot Yenachaleni Nafshi Yeshovev Yancheni Bemagle Tzedek Leman Shemo Gam Ki Elech Begeyo Zalmavet Lo Ira Ra Ki Ata Imadi Shivtecha u'mish'antecha, heima yenachamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan, neged tzorerai deshanta, bashemen roshi, Kosi v'zaya, af tov v'chesed yirdefuni, kol yemei chayei, yeshavti b'veit Adonai, yohei wahei, leorech yamim. Does anyone have any questions? We, again, do not have enough time to complete Psalm 24, so we will do that tomorrow. Classes today at 4:30. West Coast time will be a deeper Zohar. Yes, welcome.
I have a question. Could you explain to me the true definition of the heavenly dew? In the first part of Tefillin 23, it talks about the heavenly dew, which King David drank of and restored his body, or revived his body.
Yes.
Could you give me Kabbalah's definition of the dew, the heavenly dew?
You may not have heard it, because I did as part of my discussions in going through the footnotes. If you spell out the letters Yud, He, and Vav, which are the first three letters of Hashem's name, Yud is spelled Yud, Vav, Dalet. He is He, Aleph. Vav is Vav, Aleph, Vav. And you add the gematria of these eight letters, the significance of the number eight is that it is above the physical world. It is the world that is coming. It is the Sephirah of Bina when it is fulfilled, when it is on earth as it is meant to be. The significance of the word do is that it has this same gematria of 39. Do is spelled Tet Lamed. Tal. The true meaning of the heavenly dew is to live and bring into your heart, where you have created a space in your heart for Hashem's name, Yud Hey Vav. When you are connected to the Yud, which is actions, which is active being, when you are connected to the higher Hey, which is the world of Bina, when you are connected to wisdom through the Yud and Hey through the Bina, when you are constantly connected to that unity, and then you are drawing that unity, that light, that goodness, that Shefa, you're allowing it to flow through you, representing the Vav, representing you and your soulmate in unity. And you're bringing that where you have elevated or lowered even down into Malchut, so there is no longer a difference between Malchut and Bina. Bina has elevated. As it elevates to Malchut, it takes Zerapin, the Vav, with it, so that you are always in unity with the upper levers, the upper levels of worlds, Yud and Hey. This is the meaning of the word do. This is the code word that it represents.
Okay, how does that coincide with the manna that failed in the wilderness? And that was from the dew, which left the manna. Is that all about consciousness?
Do you remember the midrash I said? You may not have heard it. Why it is called manna?
I'm not sure if I heard it or not.
Okay. Manna is called manna because essentially Memnun, which is how you spell man, which is the way it's spelled, except there's a hay in front, Haman, not the Haman from Esther, but Haman. The meaning of those three letters is, what is this?
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
What is this? What is the Mama? Yes, it is the heavenly dew. It is spiritual food that sustains physicality. Remember, in the desert for 40 years, no one defecated. No one urinated. Why not? Because what they ate had no impurities. It had no connection to Satan. It was heavenly food, heavenly sustenance manifested on earth. This is the meaning of the dew. So for King David, it was liquid. Why? What's the difference between a liquid and a solid? Water is the highest form of loving kindness on earth. Why do we think that water connects to loving kindness? Because loving kindness is the essence of Hashem. And loving kindness, the essence of Hashem, is to share. Water spreads to the lowest possible level. Water goes everywhere. Pour a pitcher of water and watch it flow. But when it comes to snow, does it flow? No, it rests where you are. It's reviving you, it's refreshing, it's beautiful, all of the adjectives. But it's not flowing. It's not moving. It's not searching out to give share more. Do is the essence of Hashem. Snow is a lower level, and yet it's the tool that we use for the Gilgul HaSheleg, the rolling in the snow, the highest form of a mikvah that you can achieve. I hope I'm not confusing.
No, sir. And the reason I ask is that we've been talking about the animal kingdom and also the fish that did not, was not destroyed in the flood.
In the flood,
reason I,
correct.
Yes. And the reason I say that is because, and also from our nature, our physical laws, you know, when there's volcanic activity, say Alaska or wherever it may be, the waters get contaminated and the fish, it be salmon or whatever, they go find fresh water. But in the meantime, there's a cloud or a dew that falls into the water, which contains a very high concentration of oxygen in those droplets, which sustains them until they can actually find fresh water to spawn and stuff like that. So I was just, and it is a higher grade of oxygen level, just the dew itself, the small droplets. So that's why I asked the question.
I would be interested in reading an article of all that explained that, because I was not aware of that.
Yes. With volcanic eruption, there is protection there for the fish because the waters do get contaminated with the gases from the, you know, the eruption.
Yeah.
Right. And it does. Yeah. Right. So, I was trying to connect all of that. So basically, I guess a simple understanding for me, it is the actual essence of God producing the element that all creation on earth is sustained by oxygen. It, you know, trees, water droplets, and so forth and so on. And also in the plant kingdom as well, that you don't need terrestrial rains to have substantial growth, that the droplets themselves, the dew themselves, would sustain life for the plant kingdoms as well. So just curious.
Your words were accurate. It is the essence of Hashem. Water is the essence of Hashem. By the same token, never limit Hashem to just...
No, absolutely not.
So, but thank you for the question and your comments. They're very, very lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions or comments? So, as I was saying, tonight's classes at 4:30 will be a deeper Zohar study of the Parsha of Noah. We're starting section 26. And at the 7 o'clock class, we'll be continuing our study of Rabbi Ashlag's essays. And tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will commence with Psalm 24. One additional comment, just to remind you that I'm looking for input regarding continuing our Psalm study. After the Shovavim is completed this coming Shabbat. And I wish you all a beautiful day, a beautiful week, and shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.